welcome back to Coffee, Cows, and Crops. I'm your host, Shelby Dillman, and I don't even know what day it is anymore. February absolutely flew by, and it's been the busiest month yet. So I'll fill you in on what we did and what's yet to come in March. So get your calendars out and be ready to join us at some great events. I'll also relay some brief feedback to the two listener questions for Yasir, our soil expert from ViviGrow Sustainable Solutions. So February 1st, We Health and Para set up for their Peace Ag Update. That was held at the Dunvegan Inn and Suites in Fairview. And then the week after, we were fully booked for some EFP and grant funding workshops that were very well received. Our first one was out by Hines Creek on Monday, February 5th, and then again in Valley View, Wednesday, February 7th. So these were two jam-packed evenings full of information which brought clarity into the process of filling out your RELP, what they look for, and utilizing the EFP requirements tool and how that all kind of ties in together. We had some amazingly knowledgeable presenters, so we'd like to thank Katie and Becky and Dan and Sarah and all of you who came to help spread your knowledge. We really appreciate that. So if you're stuck on something during your application, let me know and I'll get you pointed in the right direction. Then on Friday, February 9th, Peace Beef Cattle Day was a big hit in Grimshaw, where we had a sold-out event learning about herd health, some tidbits from FCC, cover crop research findings with our very own Blacius and Chelsea, and then a superb soil talk with Yasir and Lulu. They're definitely a fan favorite. I've been receiving some EFP training with Katie McLaughlin and Devin Lloyd, so I'll be a certified tech local to Fairview before we know it. It's a fun tool to use and to learn with, and of course it's no obligation, and there's so many great things about it, and it's kind of fun to go along and see what you're doing really well, and to also find some suggestions on maybe things that you're stuck on, trying to mitigate some risks and stuff like that. So super valuable. And then you need it for RELP. So that would be a really good tool to utilize, and it is a requirement for some funding opportunities. So I'd love to help you out on that. Then I went to Fort St. John on Thursday, February 22nd for the best day put on by Peace Region Living Labs. Their below ground event was sold out, they had to move more tables in, and the presenters were phenomenal. The producer panel gave us some laughs, and it was very inspiring and informative. My favorite parts were learning about the impaction and how to properly balance your implement and tractor tires with air pressures and weight distribution to reduce compaction while maximizing traction, which in turn to help maintain soil health. I thought that was the coolest thing, and Odette Menard, she is so fun and her teaching style is just so cool and it really sticks and I could just listen to her all day. So that was really, really cool. And so the selling point for me was the mental health presentations by Kyle Stewart, a Saskatchewan rancher whose family had gone through some devastating hardships, but they turned things around and used those experiences to help others. I also got the opportunity to candidly go up on the stage and introduce Kevin Almy, the soil guru. He's such a great guy to chat with one-on-one, so that's why we nabbed him and brought him over to Fairview the next day. On Friday, February 23rd, Kevin came out to the Fairview Research Farm, our little PCBFA plot, a little slice of heaven just north of the Fairview Airport, and he came out to my little event called Coffee with Kevin, and there we were joined by 12 producers from as far away as Manning and Farmington, BC, to have experience to chat with Kevin around a coffee table in the shop. And so we had some snacks and some coffee and some laughs. Like, that was probably one of the coolest little get-togethers because everyone was like-minded and just so engaged. And it was storming like crazy, and then the wind blew out our power, but the event went strong for 4.5 hours. So it was such a good turnout, and I'd love to do it again. And Kevin's a lot of fun, and he even had some books that he sold there, and I suggest that you check that out because it's a really good read and there's just so much information and it really gets you thinking. So that was a lot of fun. Here's our March lineup for some great events in the Peace Country. there will be a livestock guardian slash predator seminar put on by Clear Hills County at the Eureka River Hall on Tuesday, March 5th. So it's really cool. I know livestock guardian dogs have been coming really prevalent, especially with more producers and even like hobby farms getting into smaller livestock like goats and sheep. So it's absolutely critical. So that'll be a free event from 2 to 5 p.m. where Louise Liebenberg will give us the rundown with her experience in guardian dogs to protect livestock from predators. They're a super valuable resource and are gaining popularity, so come learn why. And I'm really excited to attend because I just love stuff like that. On Friday, March 8th, Yasir and Lulu of Vivigrow Sustainable Solutions will be hosting a soil health event in Rycroft all day. You do not want to miss this. So bring your notebook and a pen. Everyone's always scrambling for something to write on because you'll realize why when you get there. And once they start talking, like, there's just so much to learn. Also bring your soil test and he'll walk you through how to read that and give you some highlights on like nitrogen and like compaction, and Lulu will go into the microbial aspects, and it's just crazy how it's all tied together. So definitely come out for that because Elena and I will be there as well. So if you get a hold of me, I can provide you with some more information on that. Then blurring into the weekend, the Peace Country Egg Classic will be in full force at Evergreen Park in Grand Prairie. It's running from Thursday, March 7th to Saturday, March 9th. On Sunday, March 10th, join us and PCBFA at the Pomeroy for a cover crop event that runs from 9:30 a.m. till 12:30 p.m. So come and listen in on interspecies benefits with Joseph from Covers & Co. and check out some cover crop research highlights that will be presented by our very own Chelsea Emblatius from the PCBFA. And I'd like you to pre-register for that. You could either go online and buy tickets or just please call me or send me an email to say that you're going to come, just so we kind of have a head count ahead of time. And then on Wednesday, March 13th, we'll be setting up a booth at the Northwestern Polytechnic campus in Fairview. They've got a career fair going on, so that'd be good to come out, see what it's all about. Great for kids planning to go into college or anyone looking to further their education or find a career path. There's going to be a lot of good information and booths there as well. Alright, I'm going to switch gears and pull up some of the question and answer highlights from last month. We had a listener, their question is, for the hobby farm or small acreage owners, what can we do about pasture health? So owners around like 10 acres or less, and what's the best replant for pasture grasses? Because overseeding just isn't working for us. And what about maybe fertilizer programs? Something drought resilient in Alberta, like some hardy grass species, what are good for horses, and just the recent years of drought have been affecting everyone. So how can we also fight back thistles and dandelion? So from Yasir, I quote, to answer the first questions, we must understand that grasses will not anchor in roots, anchor the roots into the ground unless the ground conditions aren't corrected. So the ground conditions have to be correct so those roots can penetrate and make a, like, grab a hold so they can go off and multiply and grab more nutrients and help grass repopulate. I hate to give advice without soil analysis. Yes, super important. It's really good to have a soil test because where this question comes from, it's actually in the foothills. So about 40 minutes east, west of High River. So two of their soil is quite different, but the question is basically kind of the same across the board, even up here too. So I hate to give advice without soil analysis, and I'll be guessing without it, and that's fine. So, just being honest. Basically, soil is imbalanced and not giving the grasses a chance to take over from the weeds, which is more likely due to critical mineral shortages like calcium, sodium, boron, and zinc. Mainly, additionally, a severe lack of activated carbon. Interesting. If a simple and affordable mix can't be raked in after broadcast of a seed at 250 to 300 pounds per acre, more than likely grass will anchor so strong that weeds will not have a chance, and then the grass will take over. So it's kind of like a little bit of a battle. And soil compaction has a big role in that too. So a second application can be applied in late summer to early fall, so the grass can build a reserve before going into dormancy. That's super important, and that's a really good note, so I'd even write that down. That's a really good point. Grass can't go into dormancy with an empty stomach, just like a bear. So let's get them to do a soil test and be more accurate and to provide the most economical way to get the grass to grow. I have these mixes as mentioned, but hate to guess less than a perfect result and will not be able to justify the resources. So that was good. Question two is a local hobby farmer. I'm a hobby farmer with pigs, turkeys, bees, and gardens. The water table in my area isn't too far down in the sand. It's a very sandy area where this person lives. I dig holes out here to irrigate when needed. The water runs through the sand and it gets lots of minerals and also becomes decently alkaline at the time. 8.4 is the highest I've tested it at. I plant random assortments of plants and veggies around here, such as soil builder mixes, hay mixes, oats, sunflowers, etc. I move my pigs around to feed on these mixes before I replant. Due to the higher alkaline content of the water, even rain rinsing through the sand alkalines, what are some good things to plant for my animals to eat all summer and then in the fall for these very sandy soils? So this producer, he is very resourceful and he does quite a bit of research, so that's kind of neat to get those numbers out there. Let's see what the response is on this. You see your response. I will say that balancing the pH for the foremost requirement, given the high OM, so organic matter, he is dealing with on an ongoing basis. Too much organic matter from manure is also not a good thing. It's not too good to farm in pH over 7.2 to 7.3 at the most. Ideally, your pH should run 6.5 to 7. And he's at about 8.4, so obviously he's not optimizing the potential for his ground, and it's probably growing a lot of weeds like pigweed. It appears that due to overload of manure in smaller areas, he could have nitrate and phosphate abundance, which according to him is giving him good crops despite the high pH. If he can balance the carbon to nitrogen ratio, the pH will come down and the crops will do way better. So it sounds like they kind of get a spike when they're growing with those extra nutrients. And what you're seriously saying is he could get even better results if he balances them a little bit more. So it's good, but we can make it even better. Also, the nutritional quality of harvest will go up and will show response in animal health directly with balanced carbon to nitrogen and pH. A good mix will be, in my view, of barseem, oats, turnip, radishes, sunflower, phacelia, and mustard as a cover crop. It can be harvested 2 to 4 times based on rainfall, and a small area can be left to flower for the bees. And I know this producer has bees too, so that's a really cool mix. And that was a cool question. I really like that one. So I want to dig deeper into that maybe one of these days. Again, a soil report of 0 to 6 inches and 6 to 12 inches will be very useful if we can get one. So, if you want to get soil probes or you can even make one. And be sure to get a good bag, so get a good mixture of soil. So punch a couple holes and mark some down from 0 to 6 inches. Get a couple test holes and put them in a bag and mix them together with your hands and seal the Ziploc bag. And then go back around again, and from those holes, go 6 to 12 inches down from your 0 to 6. So go in those same holes and go a bit further, 6 inches further, and pull up some more samples, put them in another bag and label that 6 to 12, mix it all up just to kind of get different lots and a variety. And then we can help you get those tested and sent out, and kind of show you more on what's going on with your soil health, just to give you more accurate suggestions. So yeah, that's really neat. I'm a little bit of a soil nerd. I remember at the Peace Region Living Labs Below Ground event, they had some speakers that came out and told us about like the glacial till and like super, super in-depth, like the history of the soils around here and where it came from, the lacustrine, and the solanetsic, and all the different soil groups. And so I was like, ooh, kind of excited about that. But so it kind of gives you an understanding where, how these soils are made, and then you could kind of help give them more nutrients and make them more plentiful, I guess you could say, by doing these soil tests, and just to get more benefit and to provide just a better game plan for planting whatever it may be, whether it's crops or forage or even like hobby farms. So I highly encourage you to get soil tests done and get them, have a collaboration with someone like Kevin or Yasir, and just make the most out of it, and then learn how to just get that longevity from your soils without running into the ground. No pun intended, but it's super important. And the soil has the ability to heal itself, so it's just a lot of fun. There's just, you could talk about soil for days, and so I like that. So thanks for your listeners, for your questions, and I'd like to kind of expand on those and maybe make a pet project out of a couple of them. We're always taking in new questions, so yeah, get at me if you'd like to be on an episode. So we're now all caught up, ready to take on the month of March. I hope today's episode offered you some things to look forward to, like those really fun events coming up, and a few tidbits on soil information. If you'd like to call in and ask Yasir some soil questions for a podcast, we'd love to have you. So how I do that is we just go on Zoom, on a Zoom call, and it doesn't even have to have video. You can call in on your phone, and we have like a three-way conversation between Yasir, you, and myself. I'm just there to kind of moderate and record. So it's super easy. You could ask some questions, and it's kind of fun to kind of get that back and forth in real time. And yeah, there's lots of opportunity to learn some really great things that way. So I really, really encourage that. So yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. Don't forget to check out our Facebook and Instagram pages, as well as pop over to our website for updates and event releases at peacecountrybeef.ca. Well, time to get ready for some more events in March. The first 2 weeks are going to be a little bit busy, and helping producers, there's going to be more people coming in with grant funding questions, so I'm going to pull up my socks and get ready for that too, because I've got a couple meetings to help people with their paperwork and get that rolling. So I am looking forward to having you back again on our next episode of Coffee, Cows, and Crops.